Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question-and-answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We want to face the issues. Daily Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock, let's face the issues. This program is dedicated to those seeking the truth, looking for answers from the Word of God. You see, we face a world today where there seems to be chaos and confusion on every hand. We face a world that is dark and decaying. This is not negative because the Bible tells us that it will get worse and worse and not better and better. I'm always amazed at some theological minds and some pastors and preachers and scholars, so-called, that say that if we have enough Christians that the world's going to get better and better and we can ultimately usher in the kingdom of God on planet Earth. Well, that's contrary to and antithetical to anything that we find in the Word of God. But we want to turn to the Scripture and find truth. We're living in a world of conflict and error. The Scripture says, in fact, in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Thy word is truth." So therefore, when we look for truth, we're not looking for truth in the Word. The Word is truth. Thy word is truth. By the way, before we get into some of the communication and conversation about issues today, let me invite you this Friday night and Saturday. Friday night at 6:30 till 9:30, and Saturday from 9 till 5. We will have a seminar sponsored by our university, Conservative Theological University. The title of the seminar is Where We Got Our Bible. Have you ever considered how we received the text that we have today? Ever considered, out of all of the 300-plus translations, what is the better translation? Have you ever considered what went into the codification and the canonization of the 66 books that we call the Bible? 66 individual books compiled, and it makes one book called the Bible. The seminar will be 3 hours on Friday night and all day Saturday. The university will provide a light snack for midday, the book and the syllabi is included. It's a $79 fee for the seminar. We pray that you will avail yourself to it. I would invite Sunday school teachers, deacons, leaders in your church, some pastors that perhaps have not studied this in Bible college or seminary would be beneficial to them. And, of course, all of our students that are enrolled academically will be involved in the seminar also. And then coming up, on July the 3rd, which is on a Sunday, the God and Country Day celebration. God and Country Day celebration. We do this each year, sponsored by the First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University. Most of you perhaps have never heard, some of you have, but most perhaps have never heard, the Patrick Henry speech. Well, there's a gentleman that lives right down in Central Florida, travels across the nation, that does the reenactment of Patrick Henry. He comes dressed as Patrick Henry and does verbatim from memory Patrick Henry's entire speech. You know, one little phrase of the speech of Patrick Henry, we all know that, most of all of us, is "Give me liberty or give me death." but what is the fullness of and what is the context of that speech. He will be speaking that morning, and we will also have with us the singers, the Grove Family Singers, in concert, a gospel concert with some patriotic songs sprinkled in, and then the Patrick Henry speech, and then I'll have the privilege of preaching from the Word of God, a message that will challenge us on Independence Day. And I look forward to that. And I urge you to write some of these dates down on your calendar. Be with us for these special events. Then on July, the end of July, I believe it is about the 22nd or 23rd, we have a seminar from the university, Protecting God's Church. Protecting God's Church. Now, what is that about? Perhaps you have never heard in a concise fashion that over 900 churches have been burglarized, robbed, or shootings within the church, several where the pastor has been either injured or killed as a result of terrorists coming in, and are those that simply are angry with the pastor's message, are those that are angry because the pastor has been dealing with a subject that they disagree with or dislike. And the seminar will be Protecting God's Church. Who should attend this seminar? Who should be involved in it? Senior pastors, security team, ushers, deacons, associate pastors, church staff members, church greeters, Sunday school teachers, the church parking team. It goes into detail as to what has been out in the marketplace taking place in America, and for the most part silenced by the drive-by media as to the dangers. See, a church is viewed as a soft target. Most of the time, even on the parking lots of churches, say, you know, no weapons allowed. It's a soft target. Most churches have their church doors unlocked because we all love Jesus, and so the mindset is everybody that comes into church must also love Jesus. Well, we're living in a society today where that simply is not the case. So you're invited to participate July the 22nd and 23rd. That's on a Friday night and Saturday also. You can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, get further information about the seminars that are coming up. We usually have these in our summer seminar lineup for the university. It'll be a delight to have you and a joy to have the privilege of meeting you and allowing God to speak through these seminars to encourage, illuminate, and direct us. Perhaps you've heard the latest in the news as we continue to see the world that's in chaos and confusion. Right is called wrong, wrong is called right. Recently, the best example of that is from our own Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. Perhaps you've heard all kind of statements by the media and by the powerful in Washington in response to the jihadist terrorist attack on the Sodomite nightclub in Orlando. Now, listen very carefully. I don't, even because of their lifestyle, which is unbiblical, unholy, and ungodly, I do not agree with, nor do I relish in the fact that the jihadist terrorist went in and killed 49 people and injured 50-some-odd others. But nevertheless, Loretta Lynch said, and there's an article that's on my desk, the Attorney General Loretta Lynch told a grieving Florida crowd the Obama administration was standing by the LGBT community in the face of Orlando terror attack that killed 49 and injured 53. But the shooter, Omar Mateen's true motives may never be known, she said. That's disingenuous, to say the least. He said he was doing it in alliance with ISIS. He said he was doing it as a result of honoring ISIS. But the most egregious part of Loretta Lynch's statement was, she made this comment, "The most effective response to terror and hatred is compassion, unity, and love." Now, I understand those three terms, but I do not understand them in the context of what she's saying. So she's saying that we fight back, we defend ourselves against the jihadist terrorist coming in wanting to shoot everybody and kill everybody, whether it be a nightclub or a church or other safe places for humanity. And so the rationale is you just love them, you understand them, and have unity with them, and everything will be all right. Well, for Ms. Lynch, let me just say, this may sound crazy, and it is crazy, because an impossibility. We're at war. the Islamics declared war on America at 9/11. They had been biting around the edge of the toast, if you will, for years before that. But it's 9/11 that war was actually verbally, visibly, in actual carried out terms upon Americans and American soil in 9/11. When we look at the enemy, we need to realize we're at war. It's a declared war against us. We need to determine we're going to win the war. But you can't win the war if you go by the Obama approach, and that is not to call it jihadist, not to call it Islamic, and not to say it's a war. That's burying your head in the sand. Look at the Netherlands. They're controlled by Islam today. Look at France. Look at Germany. Look at England. All are now terrorized by the Islamic enemy within. In fact, one of the most amazing things that could come from anyone in a nation like Germany, for example, that's faced with the terrorists within their own camp and with the destruction that's taking place, with the compiling of that problem with the Islamic refugees coming in, a prominent German architect, and I'm paraphrasing from an article that was written in today's WorldNet Daily News, is now advocating, that is a prominent German architect, is now advocating the demolition of churches. You heard me right. The demolition of churches to build mosques. Here's the rationale. For the incoming Islamic refugees. His position is that if in Germany we tear down all of the churches and build pagan mosques for ungodly, unholy ideology to be practiced, that somehow, as he goes on to say in that news article, that the Islamic terrorists then will be willing to somehow assimilate with Germans in Germany. Well, I've got news for him. That is simply not going to take place. Because you see, if it's a true Muslim, if he is a believing Islamic, if he reads the Quran and believes the Quran, he believes things like surah, that is, we call them verse in our Holy Bible, in the Quran, they're called surahs. And I'm reading excerpts from my book, Is Islam Tolerant? It's about a 325, 330-page book, 25 chapters. Each chapter is self-contained. You can turn to chapter 15 and read it, go back to chapter 1, etc. It's dealing with the confining of different portions and segments of Islam and what the Quran says. Surah 3, 151 says, "We shall cast terror into the hearts of all those who are non-believers," that is, those that are Muslims. In Surah 2, 191, "and kill them," that's all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of the non-Muslim. Surah 2, 191, "fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah." Surah 385, "whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted." I'm reading right from their book, the Quran. I understand it's a demonic book. I realize it's an unholy book. I realize that it's a figment of the imagination of those that back in that century were following Muhammad and believed that what he said came from Allah, the moon god, the fake phony god that has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. Surah 4:101 says, "The non-Muslims are ever unto you open enemies." Surah 4:102, "Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims." And I could go on and on and on with the surahs right from their book. There's about 3,000 surahs in the Quran. Over the past 1,400 years, by the way, the Quran has been updated many, many times by the caliphs when they would come into power after Muhammad's death. Some 30,000 so-called surahs have come and gone. It's boiled down now to just 3,000 of them. I mean, 300, yeah, 3,000. Out of the total 3,000, 87% of the Quran has nothing to do with anything but ideology, has nothing to do with religion. The 13% that you could say can be applied to religion is wicked, evil, ungodly, and unholy. If you want to join in this discussion and ask your questions or your comments, please call at 904-401-1413. 904-401-1413. We can talk about Islam. We can answer your questions regarding that. If you want to call and disagree, wonderful, do so, but do so in an agreeable fashion. We're not going to be disagreeable, although we may disagree on some of the subjects we'll cover. That is 401-1413. By the way, on tomorrow's broadcast, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about the Antichrist, the coming Antichrist. In fact, my manuscript on that subject is in the fifth draft now. Ultimately, sometimes in the next 90 days, that should be on bookstore shelves, anywhere books are sold, and on online, Amazon and others that distribute. Therefore, the coming Antichrist, a subject that multitudes tiptoe around the edge of, who is this? In fact, recently I had someone say, could the coming Antichrist be Barack Hussein Obama? Some said it was Nero. Some said it was William Jefferson Clinton. Some have said the Antichrist would be none other than the Pope. We've had all kinds of postulations in the years gone by and even in the current, but we want to go to the Bible and open the Scripture and look at verse by verse what the Scripture says about the coming Antichrist. That's on tomorrow's broadcast. So set your dial, 91.7. Stay tuned for that tomorrow. Be delighted to entertain your calls, your questions, your comments relative to that on tomorrow's broadcast. But today we're talking about a variety of subjects, and the primary thing we're dealing with is the dangers of Islam. And listen very carefully. Some will try to tell you, out of the administration and the leadership out of Washington, some of the media will try to convince you that there's a bifurcation, a segment and segregation of peaceful Islam. Some will say there's the moderate Islam, and some say there's the radical Islam. Well, if you believe the Quran, you obey the Quran, then given the opportunity, you would destroy America or anyone in it, because we're viewed as the great Satan. We're viewed as the Western world that hates Islam, although they're the ones that hate us, at war with us. I believe someone is on the line with your question. Go ahead, please.
Hey, just calling in. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. Last Monday, you had come on and challenged your viewers to call Duval County government about the mixed bathroom issues.
Yes.
And I'll let you know, you probably didn't have as many callers as you should have, because I was trying to call in. On the East Coast, all of the Verizon networks were down, and no one could get through if they were calling you on Verizon. I know you had some callers, but I tried to call you then, but the Verizon network was down the East Coast.
And well, I'm glad you made it through today.
Yes, sir. I don't even like Verizon, but my company phone, because, you know, they're the ones that gave out all our records to the NSA without a warrant, you know.
That is correct.
But by choice, I wouldn't use them. So, yeah, I'm really interested in that. I thank you for doing that. There's not much voice here in Jacksonville for that. I've also heard, and I'm not trying to spread rumors or anything. I try not to do that, but when you're a public figure, I've been told that I work with a lot of commercial real estate people, and there's a lot of, and I'm not sure how you feel about these, but the cyber cafes, they're trying to shut them down, and you know, in as bad of a recession as we're having, it doesn't seem like we need to be doing things like that. You know, people do have their free choice to do those kind of things, and I don't think we need a nanny state government to implement that, you know, because liberty is freedom of choice. It's free will. And then I heard at the same time our mayor, his family members are running dog tracks in town and letting them run wild, but yet shutting down these cyber cafes. People having to spend $70,000 to keep their doors open for a business. It's causing ghost towns. It's causing shopping centers not to have, you know, have higher vacancies and stuff. And I just don't think that's right either. But anything you can do, I'm all for making sure that we have male and female bathrooms. And I'd love to hear more about that. And
let me touch on that for just a moment, Chris. I believe your name.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Chris. Chris, let me first of all thank you for the call and say this. You're exactly right. We have such a mixed up juxtaposition of what is called political leadership, not only in Washington and Tallahassee, but also in our very own city. We have perhaps the weakest, sorriest city council as a whole in the many, many years that I've been in Jacksonville since 1980. We have 13 of those city council members that I have personally put on notice that I believe they have accepted bribes for some of the things that they are attempting to do with the expanded HRO and the open bathroom bill. In fact, if they pass anything like that, it's not an open bathroom bill. It literally takes the hinges off the bathroom doors. And then with Dr. Vitti, as a superintendent of schools, I challenge every parent in our city, grandparent, call the school board members, demand that they remove Dr. Vitti or recall their position on the open bathrooms. You see, we send our kids to school, and they should be safe. It should be a safe harbor for our children to go, for our kids and our grandkids. But we're sending them to us, to our school system, that it puts them in harm's way, the most dangerous, damaging, demonic thing that could happen, where the bathrooms are open, the lockers are open, the showers are open, that males can go in and become peeping toms for our little girls, our granddaughters and our daughters, and be the perhaps pedophiles and perverts to go in and harm or damage them for life. And yet the mindset is that that's okay. We have a school board that's there with the responsibility of getting curriculum that's honorable curriculum for teaching our kids reading, writing, and arithmetic, if you want to put it in the very brief vernacular. We do not send our kids and grandkids there to be destroyed for life or to be molested in some fashion. So I would urge everyone to call the school board members and say, listen, guys, either you listen up and get this thing right, or next election cycle, we're going to put you on the street corner. They need to be told very clearly that if they have the wrong curriculum or if they have the wrong approach to what they're doing with our kids in the public school system, that we as parents are going to say, no, 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 not in my town, you don't. So, and when it goes to the question that you ask about the slot machines, we have a city council now that's entertaining. They already started the subcommittee meetings. And may I just interject this? Find out when the subcommittee meetings are. Attend every subcommittee meeting and stand up and voice the opposition. If we're going to have, and they're proposing starting out with about 2,000 slot machines, if we have slot machines in Duval County, the welfare rolls will go up exponentially. We will have the fatherless homes that will go up exponentially. We will have abuse in the homes that will go up exponentially. We'll have drinking and drunks as fathers and mothers exponentially. And you can search the record. Every county, every city that's brought in slot machines find this to be the problem, because that parent scraping and trying to pay bills will say, well, if I go and drop my money in that slot machine, I might have an opportunity to win some funds to pay my bills. And it's the biggest lie that's come out of the devil's hell. And yet we have city council members that's wanting to do so. And I won't go into the details at this juncture, but we have folks right in the mayor's office that's connected family-wise to the leadership in Duval County that owns and controls the dog tracks, that's the ones that happen to be the ones that's pushing for the slot machines. So it's right. Antithetical to anything. It's antithetical to anything that's called moral and ethics and values. It's antithetical to anything that we thought we were putting a conservative mayor in office, and yet within that mayoral entourage are those that have a political agenda to pass upon the citizens of Duval County. So call the mayor's office and demand to have the truth be told as to who's behind the scenes pushing the buttons and pulling the strings for the city council to even entertain the slot machine. I understand the lobbyists play a big part in that. I understand that the buddy system works. I understand that's based on which politician, which city councilman gets the largest donation toward his next campaign, which is hidden as a campaign fee, but is a political bribe. It can't be called anything else. And yet on the basis of political bribery, we have right now city council members, my most humble opinion, it is based on what they've received from the lobbyist and or in some cases the LGBT community. Some have received mega dollars to pass the open bathroom bill for city council to pass for all of Duval Countyans. We're getting a taste of what that's like in Duval County schools. So keep on keeping on. Call City Hall. Beat the door down.
Do we call?
Pardon?
What are the phone numbers we should call?
I will have that for our broadcast tomorrow. I do not have it before me to give that list, but you can simply call the school board and get the name and telephone number of every school board member. You can Google it, pull up the school board name, the members and their addresses, their email addresses, their phone numbers, and absolutely tear the telephone lines up. Let them know that we're not going to sit back idly and let this thing take place as though we are asleep at the steering wheel. It is perhaps the slot machines, the open bathroom bill proposed by City Council with the HRO expansion that's now been tabled for a while. Tommy Azuri is the one that introduced it. He's done so because of his commitment to the pedophile sodomite community that he would do so. It's been withdrawn temporarily, and I've said openly and publicly, I challenge Tommy Azuri to be on a debate on the issue, the merits of the bill. I will debate him personally, one-on-one, on the merits of any such law for Duval County. We can set it up with a television network or a radio network, and we'll debate with no downtime, so whatever I say and whatever he says goes out for the general public to hear and to see. I challenge him to a public debate on the merits of such bill. He's talking about reintroducing it sometimes in the fall. And now's the time for us to say to City Council, say to our school board, no, 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 on any open bathroom bill, whether it be through the school board or through our City Council. But I am thankful for you taking a stand. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up the ship. Thank you, sir, for your call.
You're one of my heroes, sir. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Keep praying for the broadcast.
Okay.
We're in an era today when it seems as though we're being attacked from every side. Those that should represent us in City Hall and the mayor's office and the school board, and whether it be our city or other cities, those that have been elected, and many of them saying, I'm conservative and I'm going to stand for we the people. Most of the time, that's an absolute big old L-I-E. Most of the time, they're looking out for Seth. We have folks that are running for state house today. We have folks that are running for some of the local offices, and we need to investigate their background, vet them very carefully, and say to the world, this is what I found, and therefore don't vote for them. May I remind us, we are in a society today where both the Islamics attacking from outside and inside, the pedophiles and the perverts attacking from the inside to tear down the absolute foundation of our families. And if we destroy the family, we've destroyed our nation. May I remind us that the scripture is very clear that we live in the last days. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it talks about perilous times in the last days. We're living in those perilous days, those perilous times. Therefore, I urge you, I encourage you, study the word. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to hide the word of God in our hearts. We need to know the word of God and stand with the word of God as our sole defense. It's not a matter of what society says or what the media says or what the kingmakers in Washington may say. It's what does the word of God say. And may I remind us, our churches need to be the one taking the stand. If you're listening, dear pastor, I challenge every pastor, every spiritual leader, every Sunday school teacher, every deacon to take a public stand in your church and tell the church members, the church attendees, what's happening, the dangers that's out there, how to defend it, how to stand for the truth. We need to be salt and light. May I suggest that if every pastor in Duval County this Sunday morning would stand in the pulpit and repeat some of the things that I'm saying and take that stand, it'd make a world of difference, and our church family members would be willing to be salt and light that Jesus Christ has commanded us to be. I'm delighted that you've tuned in today. And remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the coming Antichrist. Tune in tomorrow, the same time, the same station, and we look forward to meeting on the air tomorrow afternoon. Thank you, and God bless you for tuning in today.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.